Hello, everyone. Good morning. It is Jennifer Lamprey with I Love My Body Diet Radio Show. So excited to be on today. We have taken our show to one day a week due to many other things that are going on as far as other platforms that we're using. And also to make it a little more special, we have our Wednesday. We're going to be just doing Wednesday shows. And Beth is on today, Beth Banning. I want to actually share a little bit about Beth before she gets starts up, because Beth is probably one of the most amazing women I've ever known, and I just have been so blessed to know her. But she has been working with her husband, and they've been focused on personal development and relationship enhancing techniques. I love how it says that in your bio, but one of the things that they have it's called Focused Attention. .com. If you go there, you can find out more about them. And I just want to put that at the very beginning and let people know about where they can go to find out about these two beautiful people. Obviously, Neil is not on here right now, but Beth's husband, Neil. And also BethBanning.com. If you go there, she has published and written a book called Interviewed by God, which is just a wonderful, beautiful connection to her higher source and her experience with that. And anyway, so Beth is on now. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Jennifer.
I wanted to share a little bit more, but I thought, you know what, I'd rather you just share and get into the meat of everything, because I know that it's a lot. So
it is. Thank you. I'm, you know, thrilled that you kept my day. You know, now I can still come. I love coming and talking to you on Wednesdays and doing this. So thank you. I know you're doing
thank you so much.
So, yeah,
great. Yeah, I wanted to. Wednesday actually is a perfect day for me, too. It works out good. So I'm glad this
good.
Worked out.
And, you know, with you and how much you're doing and really all the people you're creating around you, this is such a important topic and one that people just take for granted. You know, like, how do you make agreements? Well, you make an agreement, you go and do it, and that's the end of it. But it's so not that, you know.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So, and I'll get into it, but, you know, there's two kinds of commitments or agreements, and, you know, people use them kind of interchangeably, but when you're making, it really depends on what kind of commitments, and I'll talk about commitments at first, and again, we're going to kind of use them interchangeably, but if we're talking about commitments with yourself, you know, all those commitments we make to ourselves day after day after day, and you're not following through on your commitments, then you should listen to the last show. That last show we did on commitments, I think you were going to put it on the forum or something.
I was. I couldn't. It wasn't allowing me to on my computer
yesterday.
It was, yeah, it was. I was copy-pasting it, and it wouldn't post. It said something was wrong with the link. So I don't know what's going on today, but I am going to post that back up today, hoping that it will do it. But it was actually, I think it was the 4th of November. So it was actually almost a month ago and you'll see it. It says commitment in it. Just so everybody knows, the title says something with commitment.
Okay, good. And then that's the kind of commitments you make to yourself. And that's really what we talked about, all the underlying things that keep you from keeping the commitments to yourself. But if we're talking about commitments you make with other people, the biggest problem is that we still think we're doing it ourselves. We still think we're doing it ourselves.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one, Beth.
I'm telling you. And it's what causes all the problems. Well, you know, I mean, it's what causes the problem. But then there are really, and I say simple, that they're not easy because you have to keep practicing them. But they're simple steps to create really effective agreements that work. So the reason we think we're doing it ourselves still is we've been indoctrinated in this us against them thinking, us against them thinking. We spend our lives defending ourselves against each other, you know? And you can see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, it's crazy. I mean, we've been so indoctrinated into this thinking that, you know, we grow up, I mean, it's not a surprise. You can hear the cultural expressions, you know, that are like our backdrop. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world, look out for number one, watch your back. I mean, those are all like in the cultural paradigm. Do you know, we hear them. I mean, we still hear them, you know. So these expressions, they really create these strong mental habits that govern how we think and govern our actions. And even, and this is what you have to watch, and it's subtle sometimes, but even in the most loving and trusted relationships, we often spend much of our time looking for who's right and who's wrong. That's the us against them thinking. So sadly, the one skill that we've learned from all of this, and we've learned it pretty well, is how to prove who's right and defend against being wrong. How to prove who's right and defend against being wrong. And, you know, this is so, like I was saying, it's so deeply ingrained in us. And it won't change overnight. And it won't change just because we want it to. I mean, I wish it could. You know, I wish I had a magic wand that I could go, you know, and we'd get, see, because consciously, at this conscious level, we know that, you know, there are no more tigers in the woods that are jumping out at us. There, you know, we don't have to defend ourselves in the same way that that part of our brain thinks it still does. Excuse me one second. And, you know, this, and, you know, I kind of say this all lightly, but it creates a lot of crazy havoc in our lives, and it keeps us from one another. And the only way to begin shifting this kind of thinking is to learn something new, kind of different skills that open up new possibilities. And you don't learn new skills like overnight. You just don't. So you guys are here to learn how to make, you know, effective agreements that work. So today I'm going to talk about, like, what prevents us, what keeps us from the commitments that we're making, and how to make agreements that actually work. And there are five keys to this. They're really, like I was saying, they're pretty simple. They're like, you know, five steps to making effective agreements. But as I go over them, a lot of you are going to go, oh my God, this seems like a lot of work. But I want you to keep in mind, how long has it taken you with all the resentment and the upset and the worry and the beating yourself up for not keeping agreements and being pissed off at people who don't keep their agreements with you? How many years have you been trying to make agreements about the same ridiculous things? So that to me is a lot of work.
Oh, I love it. I love you.
But
It's so true.
You know, so like I really want to set you up because this is going to seem, and you know, because it's new too, it seems like, oh my God, it's like overwhelming. But really, it's simple. I want you to just keep in mind, it's simple. You just have to learn the skills and then you practice them. So that's the way you learn anything, right? And then when you go, oh my God, it's so hard, just keep in mind what I just said. How many years have you been trying to make agreements about the same ridiculous thing? Okay? That's way more time and way more work, I promise you, than learning this new skill. Once you get it, then it's fast. It's really much faster. So here are the keys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer, what I want you to do, because again, there's a lot of pieces. There's five pieces to this. So what I want you to do is during, like as I go through them, stop me if you have questions, because you always have such great questions.
Excuse me. Thank you.
I'm a little congested, so hold on one second. I just want to get a drink of water.
That's okay. Okay.
Hi, everyone that's on, by the way.
Thank
I just
you.
Want to say hi to everyone.
Yeah.
I haven't really said hi to them yet. Hello. Yay. Thanks for being on.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, so the first key is intention. And in other shows we've talked about, and you'll see I'll be talking about some of the other things that I talked about in other shows in different ways. But the first one is intention. And so, like, what's your intention for creating these agreements in the first place? You know, we usually just start with agreements. But if you back up a little and you go, what's the quality of experience that you want to have? What makes this agreement so important to you? What prevents most people from creating agreements that work is that they don't know the difference between a strategy and an intention. So knowing the difference between those two things is like essential. Without it, we tend to get stuck wanting other people to agree with our strategies. So this is back to the us against them thinking. We think that they have to, that person out there has to do what I want because there's not enough to go around. So if they get what they want, I won't get up what I want. So this is what happens. And so the difference of, and what can happen because you're fighting about getting this particular thing that you want, it leaves people like closed and defensive because they, you know, they can sense you're not open. And then really it can, honestly, the worst part about everybody fighting to get their strategy, way to get what they want is that it limits your opportunities. I promise you, and I've seen it over and over again, that everybody can be satisfied as long as they get out of the strategy mode. And I want to give you an example, so because I know this is like a not a normal concept. So say that you really want a new car and your spouse says, thinks it's crazy idea. The old car works perfectly fine. And you can use this with any example that one person wants kind of one thing, the things, and the other person wants the other thing. So if you try to make agreements about getting the new car, you'll probably end up in a war. You know, that person thinks it's ridiculous. The old car's perfectly fine. And this person is like, no, we need a new car. See, but the car is the strategy for something. If you get to what's underneath the new car, to what you want to experience, there are way more ways to be satisfied than just a new car. So we get stuck on the new car because we don't understand that under the new car, there's something we want. We want to experience. We're here to experience things. So if you have one strategy, you only have one opportunity for satisfaction. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, and it and this is where maybe you're talking about the overwhelm, because you could see if you're in those situations to really work through that and start learning what you're wanting to experience in these different situations, right? And you're going to talk more about that, but
I am, but that's, you know, and this is just the first key. This is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's a different mindset. And the mindset that we have to get into in order to make agreements. And again, this one piece about intention is what causes wars. Literally, we're fighting over strategies because we want to experience things. So this is really a paradigm shift from us against them, to we thinking that we are in this together. And when we're all on that same page, everybody can leave satisfied, but you have to get to what they're wanting to experience, not this ridiculous car. It's not about the car, you know? It's not about that piece of land, you know? It's about what they want to experience. So let's imagine, what would somebody who wants a new car want to experience? Do you have some guesses? I'll put you on the spot.
That's fine. I would say maybe ownership or freedom or excitement or, even like mastery or accomplishment because they have a new car, so they may feel successful or accomplished.
Exactly, Jennifer. And, you know, it's so funny that, like, people would go, oh, you want, you know, because, again, like, imagine there's this perfectly good car, it drives, but it may look like crap, you know? So this person, I love the accomplishment or acknowledgement or those kinds of things, beauty, you know, all these kinds of things. Like that one person just doesn't want to get in this old clunker, even though it works and it works perfectly fine. You know what I mean? But because beauty or accomplishment or those kinds of things are important to them and they want to experience them, all of a sudden it seems like a new car, right? But if you get to underneath to acknowledgement and beauty, there may be other things that could satisfy that for them. And you'll never know until you get underneath, you know. And for the person that old car is perfectly fine, it may be, you know, like effectiveness and, I don't even have my list. I use a list, too. So there's a values list. You know, really.
I have it in front of me. Yeah, I know. I have it always in front of me.
Yeah, so Jennifer has that too, I think, somewhere where you guys could get. And it's just like, so get underneath. Do you want that strategy and get underneath to what you actually want, what you want to experience. So that's the first step. That makes sense?
Okay. Well, you know it does to me because I've been involved in this for a while.
I know. So after we're done, we'll, like, you know, get people on and see if they have
Okay,
people.
Great.
So the second step is alignment. So this is where we really come together. We make sure we're on the same page. Like, finding out what everybody wants. This is kind of what I was just talking about. So I want a car. You don't want a car. What do we want to experience? And you get on the same page. And it's like we so don't do this. We're so afraid to do this. Because if I know what that other person wants and I want something different, and remember, again, this is about strategies. We are fighting, we're knocking heads about strategies, not what we really want. So this is why we're afraid. Again, we're all alone. We're doing it by ourselves. It's like we don't even want to align with this other person because we're afraid, oh, my God, if they don't want the same thing, I'm going to be out. You know, I'm not going to get what I want. So we don't even get together and go, what do we both want? And then make agreements from that point. And what happens, what's beautiful, and I see it, like I was saying over and over, is if you let go of the us against them thinking, come together trusting that everybody will be satisfied. And I want to really distinguish that from everybody will get what they want. Because they come in thinking they want a new car. And what they actually want is to really experience beauty or accomplish, you know, what we were saying. So if you come together and you trust that everybody will be satisfied, they'll leave with agreements that are really satisfying, like strategies. And again, I want to be very clear. I love strategies. They're important. They're how you get what you want. But if you're coming from this place of experiencing, then strategies that you may never have thought of to get what you want will kind of arise from this beautiful place of alignment.
You know, yes, it does. And I hope it's okay. I just want to share really quick what's coming to my mind, because I work with a lot of people that are dealing with sexual and pornography addiction. So in couples, where maybe the spouse is dealing with that, has gone outside of the marriage, the trust is broken, all of these things. One of the things I've noticed huge is this right here of alignment, where the alignment isn't there anymore, and there's so much confusion about whether how to come back into this alignment together as a couple, because it is about me against you. We are, and it's so subtle. It's so subtle, this me against you inside of a marriage when you're dealing with that. But when you start identifying and you really go, okay, wait a minute, I'm fighting against you instead of working with you, it's all of a sudden there's like this letdown of this let go, right? And this softness and this kind of melting into the relationship no matter what's going on. You can kind of start seeing what's really happening. So anyway, I just love this second piece of alignment.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Beautiful. Yeah, you're welcome. And then the third piece is negotiation. And here's where we back up a little. So the reason that most people don't even want to think about negotiation is that they have negotiation confused with compromise. And this is where our work differs from most people, because compromise is, you know, like really what most people like in negotiation go for. Do you know what I mean? It's like you compromise. So compromise, what we believe in the work Neil and I do, is compromise is really a component of us against them thinking. And so it begins with identifying what everybody wants, usually at the strategy level. Then you see who's willing to give up what parts of what they want until you can live with what's left. So this is a result, it's a result of having your attention focused on lack and limitation and fear. It is what creates the us against thinking, this belief that things are limited and you can't have what you want. So you better just compromise and get what you can get, you know? And it's based on the belief that really there's just not enough to go around, so you've just got to settle for what you can get. I mean, I remember when I was a kid hearing my mom say that, sweetheart, just settle for what you can get. You know, be happy with what you can get. That's what she just be happy with what you can get. What you can get. I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't feel very satisfying to me, you know.
It doesn't feel really good, Mom.
Well, what did I know?
Wait.
You know?
Right.
So anyway, negotiation, how we use this, is about believing it's an abundant world. Believing it's an abundant world. It's the beginning of identifying what everybody values and what's missing for them. And then while keeping your attention really focused on what everyone values, strategies will emerge that make it possible for everybody to be satisfied without compromise. The only reason you have to compromise is because you're still at the strategy level. Into negotiation, you're stuck on your strategies, and you believe if you don't get that particular strategy, you're the loser, and you're wrong, and you're bad. I mean, it's crazy what we end up doing. But if you believe that everybody can be satisfied, it's an abundant world, get deeper than your original strategies to what you want to experience. Like strategies just emerge. It's like this magical thing. I'm telling you, it's crazy. So then the fourth key is agreements. Now, you'd think that most people just jump there, right? Just like, let's make agreements. But really, if you just jump to agreements, it's you're missing the boat, because you're making agreements, first of all, about strategies. You've probably compromised and, you know, given up on something you really want. And again, this is where most people start, and mostly very, unsatisfactorily. And that's because in reality, well, there's a bunch of things that make starting agreements a problem. But in reality, when people think they've made agreements, they haven't even made agreements. It's like they, you know how what happens is, yes, I want this and I want that. And the other person goes, yeah, I get that. Okay. And they walk out of the room thinking the other person has agreed with them. And they haven't even. So
that happens all the time.
And then you come back and you go, why didn't you keep your agreement? They go, I never agreed to that. You know? So, I mean, so in agreements, there's very specific pieces themselves. So they, you know, again, they think they made agreements. They didn't make the agreements. And so you don't know you've made an agreement until somebody says, yes, I am willing to do this. And then specifically, what are they willing to do? And that's the only time you're sure you've made an agreement. So effective agreements rely on your ability to make clear, doable requests that lead to definite agreements. Powerful agreements and agreements that work are specific about who, what, when, and where, and how it's going to happen. So they include positive confirmation of a person's willingness to do their part. Positive confirmation. That means they say yes. So explicit agreements increase your effectiveness for everyone's satisfaction. So that's the agreement part again. So once you've done the negotiation, you've come up with strategies, then you go, okay, so who's going to do what? Who's going to do what about this? And then that's a real agreement when somebody says, yes, I'm willing to do that. And it's very specific. Okay? That all makes sense, yeah?
Yes, it does. Great sense. I'm writing down many notes. I hope everybody else is too.
Okay. And I think I'm kind of using an outline for this from an article that we have on our site about, I think it's called genuine cooperation, something like that. So there's an article kind of lays out these steps as well. Okay, now here's the part. This is the biggest part, and nobody includes this part. And this is what makes agreements work, okay?
We're ready.
They think that at the agreement part, once they've made agreements, they're done. But then when people don't keep their agreements, they end up pissed off. They don't understand that, you know, they're like upset. And then there's a war. Or when you make an agreement, and this I see all the time, okay? You make an agreement with somebody, and you just, it's like it doesn't get done. You're not doing it. And then you hide out. You don't say anything. You know, you're trying to avoid it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
No, so my daughter had to blow her nose, so I had you on mute.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, Beth.
Okay. So, again, at the agreement part, people think they're done. They are not done. Making agreements are the very first part, like where the whole process just begins again. So making agreements are more like a process than an end result. More like a process than an end result. So the fifth key is accountability. Accountability is essential. So if one person, so if people make agreements and makes an agreement during the agreement part and they don't keep their agreement, my favorite question is, and you do want to write this down, okay? What prevents you from keeping your agreement? What is preventing you from keeping your agreement? Okay? So again, what happens is you do all this stuff, you come up with strategies, and then you go, yeah, I can do that. Well, you go out and you start doing it and you realize something's missing, something that you didn't either identify or were afraid to say in the negotiation part. And if there's something missing for you, some experience that you want to experience and you didn't, bring that into the negotiation part, you're not going to keep your agreement. You're just not going to. So this accountability, and we're talking about a literal meeting. So what we suggest is that once you're done negotiating, as soon as you're done and everybody picks agreements that they're willing to do and everybody says yes to them, you set up an accountability meeting. This is a literal put it on your calendar kind of meeting. And you can do it a week or 2 weeks, depending on how you think the agreements are going to go and when they were supposed to get done by. And you actually put a calendar meeting on your schedule. And in a week or two, whatever it is, you come together. If people aren't keeping their agreements, you ask the question, what's preventing you from keeping the agreement? You get down to the, what's missing in experience-wise, and you start the process over again. And again, this is where I go, oh, my God, right? It's so much work, and it's going to take so much time. So go back to what I said. How long does it take you to do what you're doing over and over and over again? Once this process gets really ingrained in you, it's fast. But even if you just go from agreements and accountability, if you just add this accountability part, not like it's bad or wrong that someone is not keeping their agreements. And I want to say this a couple of times because thinking it's bad and wrong that people are not keeping their agreements is us against them thinking. Mm. You're looking for who's right and who's wrong. So if you shift it to we thinking, we're in this together, that when somebody doesn't keep their agreements, the mind can go to, oh, my gosh, what's missing for them that they can't keep this agreement? What's missing for them? It's not bad. It's not wrong. It's just something's missing. Or they would keep it. Why wouldn't they keep it if something wasn't missing for them? Do you know what I mean?
I do. Can I? Yeah, it does. And I just want to ask a real quick question.
Yeah,
if that's okay. Because I think that this is really important, and I can actually feel this in my body. I'm feeling it in my chest when you're talking about it, and even in my throat. I'm sensing it there, and so I don't know if that means any, or you want to talk about that for a second, but. Because it's almost like there's something that's coming up, rising up in me that is, I don't know if it's frustration. I don't know what it is for me. It's almost like guilt too. There's like a guilt thing to it. I don't know what it is. So
Well,
I'm just curious.
Let's stop and talk to that for a second, because I think that's so important. And again, so my guess is it's fear at all different levels. Guilt is fear. You know, frustration is fear. It's all fear. And it's fear because we're so entrenched in us against them thinking. I'm telling you. It's like,
and that's what I'm thinking, you know, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're so entrenched. This is something so new. And, you know, again, consciously we go, I love these people. Do you know what I mean? How could I be so afraid of this part? This seems like love, right? This accountability part. I mean, this is just love. It's like, it's not working. Let's get together and figure out what's missing, you know? That's like love, right? But we're so entrenched that somebody's got to be wrong and somebody's got to be right. And if it's not them that's wrong, it's me that's wrong.
So what's interesting when you're talking, I'm realizing, because I've been working on this, you know, because I've learned this from you the last couple of years, and it's something I have been working on and am consciously working on. What's interesting is you're talking right now, even after doing this for the last couple of years and being conscious with it, that this feeling is coming up, but I'm sensing this inside of me. And I think that it's important for me personally, and maybe those that would be integrating this into their lives, that this is something that, like you said, we want to love, we want to have all these things, we are good people, we want all that, but these conditioned, like you say, conditioned beliefs and things that have gone on, to look at ourselves and go, okay, like even as I'm thinking of this, right away I'm judging myself with that. Right away it comes in. You know, like you just said, and I'm doing something wrong, and I don't want to be that person that's like that. I don't want to be that person. And to really sit, and so what do you do when people are in that space, when it's like,
so
this is coming up for them?
Let me check one thing to make sure. I think I heard what you said, but I want to make sure. So when you said, I don't want to be that person, what did you mean?
That person, meaning it's that us against them. I don't want to be that person that's that fighting. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. When we've done something, and we see this over and over again in our seminars and workshops, is when it's this idea that you see a new idea and you go, oh my God, I see that that's true. And you have an old belief that you held forever that was true. And these two things cannot exist in the same world. They're like they're opposed, but that you can see that you thought this one was true forever, and now this thing I'm saying is true. You can feel it. You can sense it. You know it's where you want to go, but you have this opposing belief. It's called cognitive dissonance. And what happens is you start, it's like this confusion and upset and all these things happen that are so intense, because when you shift a paradigm, when you shift what you believed forever into something new, there has to be, and I want to say upset, but
when you're harvesting and you're having to get the soil and kind of rough up the soil to be able
exactly.
to put the seeds in again.
Beautiful analogy.
I don't remember the name of that, but that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, beautiful analogy. So that's one thing that's going on. The other thing that we see over and over again is that when people see, and this speaks directly to what you said, just said, I don't want to be that person, is that when we see a new path, and we see how many years we've spent on this old path that seems so counter to what we consciously want to live, there's deep regret.
That makes me want to cry when you just said that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's like, and again, I wonder if other people are feeling any of this, or just as they're listening to you, because I wonder if other people feel that. So you've seen that this is something common. That people will...
Very common. Well, what happens is, and maybe they see it this quickly, it's very possible, but what I see is when things start shifting and they really start getting this, because you've been doing this as long as you have, and this is the other thing, like you said, that, you know, last year, you know, you've been kind of in this and around and practicing for a couple of years now. And again, this isn't something. How many years did it take you to learn what you've learned? How old are you, Jennifer? You know,
41.
Right. You know,
it took me a lot of years to learn it.
Right. And we've perfected us against them thinking. And again, there's nothing bad or wrong. If we start, and it's the same thing with us, if we start thinking that it's bad or wrong, it's still the us against them thinking, you know? Because you have to find out who's wrong and, oh, my God, I'm wrong. Holy crap, I'm the one that's wrong. And that's painful, you know? So there's nothing, I want to say it, I'll say it a dozen, there's nothing wrong with how you've been doing things up till now. Nothing. It was perfect. It got you where you are. It took care of you. Yay. Yay. And don't stop doing that until you find something you like better. And this is an opportunity of a possible something you might like better. But then you practice it. It's not like you're going to jump into it and do it perfectly. So keep doing what you're doing. Nothing wrong with it. And then try to put a couple of these little things in when you're conscious of it. And even the smallest piece of this, if you just set a meeting, don't do anything else after you make an agreement. Set a meeting to go, how's it going? How's it going? How's that agreement going? It's not working? Okay, what's missing? Just add that and see what happens. Do you know what I mean? Go download the article and get the 5 steps and see, add little pieces to your agreements and see how it goes. So there they are.
I'm going to find that.
Intention, alignment, negotiation, agreements, accountability. So those are the 5 keys.
Beautiful. Perfect. We have maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Do you want to have anybody on to maybe work
somebody
through or talk about, or if they have questions?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, if anyone does, we're probably only going to take one person, but we have, if you want to push one, if you want to ask us something or work through something or something's coming to your mind that you really are, a little conflicted about
or
confused.
If there's an agreement where we can go, okay, let's pick one little piece of this that you can try to
I love that. That's great. And then I am looking for your, and again, push one if you have anything. I am looking for that article that you're talking about. So I'll post that around. In different places, in the I Love My Body Diet Movement and stuff page and the alumni, so people have that.
I'm pretty sure it's on the archive in the Focused Attention site, the article.
Okay, yeah. Okay, great. Let me see. I'm going back. I don't see anybody. Maybe people are roaming around and doing stuff today. But I mean, we can stop here. I think this was just so perfect. And again, oh, we have one person really quick. We have just a couple minutes. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. This is Carolyn.
Hi.
Carolyn.
Who is this?
This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Beth. It's so good to hear you on today. again, striking gold. I was wondering what you do when other people that you're talking about having this meeting with other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you do when they become defensive?
So if you have a meeting and you let them know, so how you start the meeting, because again, people don't understand this and they're coming in and they're going to even possibly see the meeting as, oh my God, like, you know, going to the principal's office or something, you know what I mean? So when you set up the meeting, let them know what your intention is. So I would suggest for you, coming up with, what are the experiences you want to have in the meeting? Do you want connection? Do you want to experience, ease and peacefulness? What do you want to experience during the meeting? And then, come up with 3 value-type words that you want to experience and let them know that what you're wanting to do is have a meeting about the agreements you've made to make sure that they're working for them too, to see what might be missing in the agreements, so that they are really satisfied too. You want to make sure that it works for everybody and let them know what you want to experience. So in the meeting, my intention is really to experience like connection and caring and effectiveness, whatever you decide to do. And it's not about who's right and who's wrong. You just let them know from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so you'll get a lot less defensiveness. And if you see defensiveness again, you can, you know, in the meeting, you can ask them, are you worried that, like, I'm trying to make you wrong here? Because that's what the defensiveness is about, that they're really worried there's some judgment and you're trying to make them wrong.
What if they try to make you wrong?
Well, see, now
another form of
thing.
Defensiveness.
Yeah, that on your side, you get defensive. So this is a whole skill. It's really an empathy skill. And really what there is for you to know, since you don't have the, you know, the complete, you know, skill, is it's for you to remember that no one can make you wrong. It's them trying to defend themselves in this us against them world. And you don't have to become defensive. It's like they can say whatever they want. It's about them. So really, if they're looking at you, trying to make you wrong, that means something's missing for them. So then you, and this is really empathy, it's looking underneath their pain to what's missing for them. So, and again, this is a skill unto itself. It's why starting with the intention and the alignment and the negotiation and the agreements works much better, because once you get to the accountability meeting, everybody really gets that they were included. Do you know? It's not just about you. So there's way less defensiveness in that accountability part because everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. You need to come to the meeting prepared to give.
Yeah, prepared, and I really want you to know it's about everybody. So it's not about ever giving up. Never give up. But it's about we're in this together, and we can both be satisfied if we just stick with it and get underneath the strategies. Underneath the strategies. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's so cool.
Thank
cool.
you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Carolyn, for coming on. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being that example and sharing that. We will end this amazing show. It really has been so insightful. I was writing notes like crazy, and I hope you too were. I just wanted to share, for those of you, go to focusedattention.com. There is so much amazing information on there, and they have blogs, they have articles, they have you have so many, you have different ebooks, you have e-courses. You guys have a lot on this on your site.
Many years.
A lot, many years.
Content.
And
we also
and I know
have, just so people know, and it was probably a really good one, we have free action tips. It's a year's worth of tips that you get once a week in your inbox, and you can practice little pieces of all the different things I talk about. It's very
amazing.
Cool. They're very cool.
It's amazing. I know. I was just saying it's free resources in your website. And also I noticed too, I don't know why I didn't notice before, you have the core, the values exercise, and you actually send people the values list, which is what everyone I'm always talking about. So I can just send them right here.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yes. So anyway, just so you know, please go on there and check out everything they have. I mean, they have so much content and beautiful ways that you really can be supported with what Beth is talking about. So thank you again, Beth, for being on. I can't wait till next time.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll talk to everyone later. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks.
Yes. Love yourself. Love your body. Remember, you're worth it. And we love you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.